Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is episode 281, and I am Kevin.
And I am Judge Apatow.
Did you say Judge?
I did say Judge.
And I'm Daniel. I'm Daniel, and good to be back.
I'm Doug.
Intern.
Oh, I didn't know Kevin went already. Yeah. See, Simon, I always thought you were more like a Judge Reinhold kind of guy.
Yeah, maybe I should be. Too bad it wasn't his birthday today. I would have put a Judge Reinhold. Yes, that's probably more me. Now, speaking of telling us who we are, me and Daniel had this weird conversation the other day, which I wanted to bring to you guys. We were discussing Ted Lasso and who each person on the show would be. So we thought Doug, we voted Doug as Higgins. Because we thought Doug would be the perfect Higgins.
I'll accept that. I will accept Higgins. He's a nice guy. He has everybody over on Christmas. I'm down.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
Very festive, yeah.
Now, we're having a problem with Kevin. Now, I think Daniel should be Coach Beard because he doesn't say much.
And the beard.
And he has a beard.
And the occasional good jokes.
What do you think, Kev?
I don't know. What do you think the intern is and yourself?
Well, I don't know who I can be. I don't know if I really fit. I don't think I'm Nate. I think I'm a little nicer than Nate, at least this season.
You're kind of Roy.
I'm kind of Roy, but I'm more like Roy than anybody else. Or I'm that guy that used to play Dave Keeley. But I don't think I'm that stuck up. I don't think I'm Tart. I think Kevin's like that woman that runs the bar. He should run the bar.
Really?
Okay. Or Rebecca. I could see Kevin as Rebecca, the owner.
Yeah, Kevin could be Rebecca. Well,
hold on. If we're casting Ted Lasso, then we have to cast the five leads.
Okay, we'll cast the five leads.
Oh, Kevin, yeah, let's just stick to the Diamond Dogs.
There's no Ted Lasso or Ted Lasso in this version. It's just the woman in the bar and Rory.
you can either run a football club or run a bar, Kevin. Or something like that.
Yeah, Kevin, your choice.
I'm a woman, I guess. Is that it? Is that
it? I think Simon decided that independently.
Definitely Rory.
I did. There you go.
There's nothing wrong with Rory. Rebecca. She's the boss bitch.
Oh, yeah. It's true. I like Sam a lot this second season.
So do I. So is Daniel Beard then? Are we in agreement on this?
Bob is like doesn't know what's going on.
I'm looking at IMDb. I'm looking at the same time you're talking. So
you definitely have the Ted Lasso mustache.
I think Bob's Ted Lasso.
I'll go with that.
Or the alter ego Ted Led Tasso.
Ted Led Tasso.
Checks out.
I definitely think Bob would get along with everybody and try to make an effort.
As long as I'm not Nate, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. I'll be Nate. I don't care. You guys all hate me anyway.
Oh, no.
So, anything else, Kevin? Have you watched any stuff on Disney Plus that's 3 hours long?
I used my Hawkeye, and I watched a show with Jeremy Renner.
Nope, not that show.
Not my hockey ears.
Oh.
No. Yeah.
Something more getting the band back together.
Oh, the Beatles get back?
That's it.
They were still together then.
Oh, I don't know.
That's true. They actually recorded Abbey Road after Let It Be. So.
Yeah.
So they still had one more album in them.
Yep.
Wow, this a lot of
Abbey Road surfaces in the recording sessions too. So
I haven't had 9 hours to watch that thing yet. So
I'm on the second watching.
Any
are
good?
All the episodes up?
All three episodes are up.
For Hawkeye or for the Beatles?
For the Beatles.
We're not discussing Hawkeye. Get to sleep.
Hawkeye is thinking because Hawkeye is also at 3 episodes, Simon. Gosh.
That's true. The 4th will be Wednesday.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, I'm done. Move into movies. You guys are boring me.
Mm-hmm. Just the awkward silences.
What are you going to do when it's this boring? Who are you going to call?
Extra feature.
Doug Busters. Actually, I'm calling Doug. His wife will know exactly what's going on and not help me.
Well, that's true. She knows how I feel about Ghostbusters Afterlife, so.
No, but I meant if I had a spirit in my house, who am I going to call? Your wife.
Yes, that would be a good thing. She would be good to call. She would know exactly what to do with it.
I think she would. I think she has some general good opinions. So, Ghostbusters Afterlife. Who's in it, Prin?
Tina Busters. That's who we're going to call. It's directed by Jason Reitman, written by Reitman and Gil Kenan, and based on the 1984 Ghostbusters by Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis, starring Carrie Coon, Paul Rudd, McKenna Grace, Finn Wolfhard, Logan Kim, Bill Murray. Wait, is that a spoiler to say the original Ghostbusters are in it?
What?
I think it's a what?
No, really? They blew that in the trailer.
Oh, did they? Okay, I never saw the trailer. But yeah, okay, so Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, and Sigourney Weaver for like a minute. Maybe that one's a spoiler.
But yeah, I mean, actually, they spoiled that in the credits because it says, and Sigourney Weaver, I'm going, where? And then, oh, there she was.
She likes it.
Like, plus, 2 seconds before.
Plus 3D generated Harold Ramis.
Yes, that's true. And Olivia Wilde was the one playing Gozer, right?
Mm.
And Ivan Reitman was playing Egon in the beginning.
Ah. Oh, okay.
He was? I did not know
that. He was. That's Ivan Reitman.
I did get toys.
Okay. Where did you have time to get toys? You don't leave your house.
I went to go see Ghostbusters Afterlife in theaters, and I got the little toys at the front.
Oh.
How did you get toys at the front? They didn't have any toys at my front. They had nothing but beer.
They have toys at popcorn, the front too.
Yeah. And one of those stupid drink machines.
Yeah, Landmark. They also Landmark have Cinemas. They have they have a little. Sometimes they have a little cart setup.
I was at Landmark and I didn't see any little carts.
Well, they really said, "Fuck you, Ajax. You're not getting a cart of toys."
So I didn't get a Slimer because some teenagers stole them all or bought them all?
No, because they don't even have a, like, it's like a little stand by the popcorn.
I must have walked by it.
Probably.
Because I don't remember
getting
popcorn for that one.
Okay. So you just went right to your seat and just bypassed the toys?
Yeah, it's probably more like me because I was in the mood for a beer at $18 or whatever they're charging me for a beer.
Yeah, movie prices in general have gone up. It's like $21 for IMAX now.
For what?
Not if you get IMAX or the CineBlend or whatever the stupid thing's called.
Do you have that intern?
Yep, I do. You get a free movie each month.
Is that like movie pass, but more sustainable?
Cheaper. It's like $9.99 a month, and you get go to whatever how many movies, and then you get a free one. At some point, I don't think I've gotten that. Yes, I have.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody want to talk about this movie? We're just going to talk about toys and free movies.
I could go if you want me to.
Go ahead, Doug. Because it.
All right. I'm guessing I will have the dissenting opinion here, but I did not like this movie. It felt so much like just nostalgia and references to the first movie, and that's all I got out of this. It didn't try to tell its own story, at least in my opinion, and everything felt like a reference. Even if they're not talking about it, they had, you know, the books stacked up in Egon's house. The line, you know, "Are you a god?" It was Gozer again. Paul Rudd, bless him, he tried his best. He had a couple scenes that I got a chuckle out of. McKenna Grace, she was fantastic. Everybody else was just kind of going through the motions, in my opinion. I did not care for this movie.
Wow. That might be a dissenting opinion. Kevin, did you see this?
No, as I told you, I didn't see this. I did enjoy the Red Letter Media reviews, and that was very similar to Doug's opinion. So,
McBride?
See, I saw it twice. I saw it in regular, and then I saw it in D-Boxed. So I can see where Doug's coming from, because like it's basically the same story, but I still enjoyed it enough to go see it twice. It was funny seeing them react to seeing the ghost of Egon, Bill Murray's eyes just bugged out and whatever, and he looked twice. But there were scenes like Paul Rudd's scenes that were funny. The little marshmallow ghost running in the store, playing with the vacuum and the whatever that was.
I just showed my little buddies here.
I forgot what it was. Anyway, so I see where Doug's coming from, but I still like the movie enough to go see it twice.
Did the second time you see it, was that the free movie?
That was the D-box. I got my friend in for free. No, for a cheaper price. I got the cheaper price, and then I got him in for a cheaper price.
That's very kind of you.
Okay.
Well, I'll just set with Doug. I love nostalgia, and I was so disappointed in the last Ghostbusters. I agree, this film did nothing new, but I didn't care. I feel I wanted an homage. I got my homage. I got exactly what I expected. Was I looking at anything new? No, because I don't think there is anything new to do with this franchise. I don't think they have anything new to do. They seem to like recycling this. I expected a recycled movie. I got one. I did like the kids. I thought the kids had a good time. I like the school. I like how they introduced new characters. I really thought that was just a setup for the next movie that we haven't gotten yet.
Actually, I got a question for you, Simon, or Doug, either one or any one of you. Was that gunner seat always there, or is that new?
New to me.
In Ecto-1.
I think that's new.
I like the scene around town. I like the kids playing with things. Yep. I did get annoyed at times, even though I kind of let it go. Paul Rudd going, wow, that looks like a really good run. Okay, we got it. It's all right. He said this three times now. I'm kind of over it. But it's all right. I'm letting it go. I like the look of the film, which is something I was looking forward to. I like Jason Reitman's shooting. I just find these films are a little slow for me, and this one seemed to move a bit more. I had a good time, though, but I will admit with Doug, this is what I wanted. I would like something a little more original, but I'm hoping that would be in the sequel. But I like the characters. I thought they were well cast.
It also took itself a little too seriously for my taste.
I can see that. No comedy.
Yeah, there really wasn't that much. You don't have a Bill Murray in this. No.
That's
react
the kind
to
of Grace.
Things.
Her one-liners were killer. What's the same between a hamster and something? They both explode when you put them in the microwave.
Yes.
I thought that was great.
I had stuff like that. I love podcasts. I do think podcasts kind of upgrade his equipment. I mean, where's his video? You're walking around seeing all this stuff. You might want some video to do some things.
I think the character called
podcast works for me. Nothing wrong with podcast. I had a good time, but I don't know. I mean, Carrie Coon could do no wrong in my world. She always seems to do a good job. I think they homaged Egon perfectly for me, but I don't want them back. Now, here's my thing. I'm done. If we ever make another Ghostbusters, I don't want to see these guys again. They're done.
I think they set it up for Ernie Hudson's Ghostbuster at the end, right?
Yes.
See, I'd rather see these people back than have Bill Murray just come around and be all, I'm only here for the paycheck.
Well, that's Bill Murray, right?
Right.
I want McKenna Grace back. But also, I think Paul Rudd perfectly suffices as kind of our way in as a fandom, right? And it's just like, oh, like remember 1984 with the Ghostbusters? I thought that was interesting. And I don't even know if I realized that this was going to be a direct sequel. So when I went to go see it, I was like, ah, that's awesome. Because I didn't think I saw many of the trailers, or they were vague enough when I saw them back in 2020. So again, that kind of took me by surprise in a way. And it was cool, like, seeing all the homages and just how it connected. I love the nostalgia of them just kind of going down below, and just, it's just kind of like introduced to a new world for them, and it kind of reintroduces us to it. And I thought that was pretty effective. And J.K. Simmons was pretty, that little cameo was pretty good too. And I think the,
where
I thought it was really funny though, with the little marshmallows and how they were just destroying the groceries. What store was it? Walmart?
Oh, that was him.
Yes. Walmart. Yeah. Nobody's there shopping. It's just Paul Rudd running around by himself. Didn't you notice? I've never seen that.
Apparently no one shops at the Walmarts there.
Nobody likes that Walmart.
It seemed like it was closed, and it magically opened when he stepped up to it, though. Was I wrong on that?
Weird, eh?
Because there was no staff.
Walmart, I think they're open 24 hours, or at least they were when I went to college.
Maybe not a backwoods.
I heard somebody else. I heard somebody else in the store, so there was somebody else in the store with them. They were just at the other end of the store.
Oh, really?
I heard some guy that tripped.
I mean, they probably saw the little marshmallows and were like, okay, that's our cue to hide.
Ooh. Now, here's my question, Daniel. You're shopping with me. We're out shopping. We're looking for stuff to put on.
I don't leave the house, so
I'm with Kevin. Me and Kevin are out together shopping, which could happen. We're going to Doug's Barbecue. We're getting some marshmallows. Doug, we see these marshmallow guys, Kevin. What do we do? Do we run away or do what Simon would do?
What happens if you eat them? What happens if you eat them?
Can we eat them?
Do they die or do they reform in your stomach and just punch their way out?
I would be squishing them.
We think we'd be squishing them?
Yeah, hitting them with frying pans and whatnot.
I definitely wouldn't be running away from them. That's me. I would challenge them.
I would be laughing too hard. I'd be like, if this is my death, I'm having a good time.
But you can't leave the house, so they have to be in your house. Do you have marshmallows in your house?
I think I have some old, expired.
You ran away from the marshmallows. You ran away from the big dot monster dog.
Yeah, but I think the instinct is to run away from the monster dog, because the instinct with the marshmallows is just like, what the hell am I watching here? These guys don't look harmless.
His eyes bugged out at that. He goes, what?
Listen, yeah. I'd be running away from the dog, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the marshmallows setting each other on fire, I was dying.
That was funny.
That was a great scene.
Hold on, let's back this up. Doug, did Tina like Ghostbusters?
It was only me and my son Dylan who went to see it. So
did Dylan like Ghostbusters?
He kind of felt the same way I did. There was a few scenes that were fun, but all in all, it does not hold a comparison to the original. The original was the epitome.
Actually, Doug, okay. you had the same reaction my friend did after we left the theater. He says, where's the story? It's the same story. I said,
same story. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it too.
You know, I couldn't see it, so I actually watched Ghostbusters 2 for fun again, because there's a transfer on Crave. And I enjoyed that movie. I thought Ghostbusters 2 was actually much better than I remembered it being.
No, so, we did it on the show, Kevin.
Yeah.
I don't know what episode, but...
To me, that's... I don't know where this movie picks up as far as the old Ghostbusters. The fact that that Egon took all the stuff, the toys, and went to bought some farm and threw the ghosts and underneath the farm or something like that, and it all has something to do with the guy who built the building in Ghostbusters, right?
Yeah.
The J.K. Simmons character.
Mm-hmm.
That seems, I don't know, to me, at the end of Ghostbusters 2, they've got the rights back. I would expect them to be in very different places.
Well, this movie doesn't reference Ghostbusters 2 at all. References are to the original, really.
That's right, too.
So they retconned the second one, pretty much?
Well, they just ignored it.
They ignored it. It's kind of like
everyone else does.
Pretty much.
Now, are we done talking about Ghostbusters? Last Night in Soho, directed by Edgar Wright and story by Edgar Wright, with a screenplay by Christy Wilson Cairns, starring Thomasin McKenzie, Anya Taylor-Joy, the late Diana Rigg, Matt Smith, Cinnabon, Sinéad Carlson, Rita Tushingham, Michael Ajaho, Jesse May Lee, and Terrence Stamp.
Did you mention Matt Smith?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
But his name is, like, so kind of boring that you probably, that's fair that I probably would have glossed over it.
Glossed over it, yeah.
Kevin, did you see this?
Kevin did.
I did see it. I did see it. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I mean, Edgar Wright makes movies, and to me, the amount of craft that's in this film is outstanding. I mean, it's a weird film. It's not quite a ghost story. It is a ghost story, but it's not quite a ghost story. This girl is kind of like the kid from The Sixth Sense. She can see and sense things. So she's feeling or living through echoes of things that happened in the past. So she has a connection with her dead mother. She moves to Soho to become a fashion designer, and she has bad luck with her roommates. So she finds an apartment in this house, in a flat. And while she's there, she starts seeing visions of a young girl in the 60s who wants to be a singer, and sort of her rise and fall. She ends up becoming like a call girl, and she's used and abused by many men and so forth. But things just start getting darker as she lives through this girl's life in flashbacks. And she starts seeing visions in her daily routine. I thought it was really well done. I mean, it was like just the sort of that piggybacking, that psychic piggybacking as she's the Anya Taylor-Joy is going down the stairs, and you can see the actress's reflection as she watches her and lives through it. And, you know, little things like whenever they were in rooms with mirrors, she would see the reflection of the actress in the modern times, sort of viewing through things. And then there's a fantastic dance sequence with Matt Smith where Anya Taylor-Joy is sort of falling for him. And they all did it in camera, too. So every time they twirled, one of the actresses would duck down, the other actress would pop up. And so it's not 3D. It's all in camera stuff. So a little bit of trickery, having fun with making a movie. And so I liked it. I mean, it was an interesting twist at the end.
Yeah.
With what was going on. I don't want to spoil it, but I enjoyed it a lot. Diana Riggs was really, you know, fantastic in her last performance, and I highly recommend this movie. Plus, the music's fantastic too, right?
So, yes. Yeah, I love this movie. It's like, sorry, obviously, like Edgar Wright has done Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz and such, so it's great to watch him actually go back to horror. And it doesn't even feel like a horror movie until she falls awakes and the guy's like, oh, like, I forget what he says, but it's the guy that comes off screen who's like, oh, I bet you thought I was you're still sleeping or something. And it's like, oh, shit, this is supposed to be a horror movie. So I thought that was great. But it's just, for me, it's very rare when a movie, like a horror film, is this well written, this the production value in general is this good, and it's just so much care isn't put into it. And that's not trying to be a dig at horror films in general, but this, there's a lot of bad ones, but this is just a great one. With it just shows what a great director can do with this kind of story. And I loved Anya Taylor-Joy, loved Thomas and Mackenzie. Like what you were talking about, Kevin, with all the reflections, and it's so cool in the cab when we just see Thomas and suddenly like reflected in the window. I thought that was like the attention to detail here is so good. And I'll also just say that Adventures in Babysitting with Elizabeth Shue, like that is one of my, I'll get, Simon, I see your face, I'll get there. I'm relating it back. But just the opening to this film with Thomas and dancing, it reminds me of Adventures in Babysitting, which is one of my favorite openings. And just, yeah, the soundtrack in general was amazing. And the love interest too, I thought he was really, really good.
Oh, and General Zod's in this movie too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Terrence Stamp?
Terrence Stamp.
Yeah, he's drinking at the bar.
Oh, and Sam Claflin as well.
Mm.
Okay. I love this film from beginning, middle to end. Affleck had so much fun. I thought it was going to take a different turn when she first goes into the 60s and you see Anya Taylor-Joy pop up in the mirror. When you first see that scene, I thought it was going to be a switch. So Thomas, whatever her name is, goes into that world. and get stuck there somehow. It was going to be one of those things. I thought that was going to happen. Okay. But nope. I totally thought that was exactly what I think when I watch it. Because you guys know me. I don't watch trailers, so I have to guess.
Sure. You didn't have to for this one.
I love this. I love the fashion design. I thought the looks were phenomenal, the clothes. I definitely think this is going to be up for Oscar for clothing of some kind. Yes. The music. I love the choice in music. That is, I had to look up to see if Anna Taylor-Joy was actually singing Down, Down. Yeah, that's her, which I did not know, which I wanted to know. Because I just finished Tick, Tick, Boom, Boom with Andrew Garfield, but maybe we'll get there one day. And stuff like that. I enjoyed it more. I liked that I had no idea how it was going to end. Had not a clue. Had me guessing constantly who was going on, what's going on. I love the scenes in the bar. The bar always amused me when she's working at the bar and something always seems to happen while she's at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Or something happens. The only thing I thought was weird, she goes to class and kind of fades and just everything's all right. Everybody thinks she's okay. I thought that was kind of weird that there was a little bit more to that scene, but maybe I'm just wanting more. But overall, I think it's wonderful. I love the way it plays out. I love the ending. I thought was a little rushed, but I think there's just more, okay, we really got nothing else to give you. Let's wrap this up, which is fine. I love the end of the thing when Grandma finally gets to come and gets to see the fashion show.
Yeah.
I did enjoy that. I felt bad for her boyfriend, who I think gets shortchanged a lot. He doesn't really have a lot to do, and I think he should be. He is making an effort. Like, I got to give this guy an effort. He's making a shot with what he's got. But overall, Anna Taylor-Joy continually oppresses me every time I see her. She's just a wonderful delight in this film. I'm looking forward to anything else she does, and you guys need to watch this.
That stair scene is incredible.
The what?
That stair scene with Downtown is incredible.
I agree, though, but I love Matt Smith, the way he plays this slimy little guy the whole time. And I love the way Wright shoots. How do I, if we're not spoiling this, which is not like us, I'm going to have to think. The bedroom scene involving items. A item continuously, I think it's very well done. And I don't think I ruined anything. I was just trying to be general. But I did like all the bedroom shots. Anything involving the bedroom, involving individuals, I thought was excellent. So I think this might have a shot at screenplay. I'm not saying it's going to win, but I think it's definitely going to be on the list.
I'm going to need it, yeah.
Okay, I'll go. I've got to agree with all three of you because I, from beginning to end of this movie, I loved it. I was interested. The twist at the end, I wasn't expecting that. Maybe I should have, but I didn't expect it. I loved where, like, the switches, like, she's looking in, as you said, looking into the mirror, looking at the windows, and it's all of a sudden not her anymore. It's, and just Taylor Joy. And just from beginning to end, it was great. Like, the music, everything. The screenplay, the direction. I can't say much more, but I recommend it as well.
What did you think of the casting?
The casting?
Yeah.
Very good. Like, I couldn't ask for a better cast for this movie.
Perfect.
I guess I'll be the dissenting opinion again.
Oh, no.
I love 90% of this movie. I absolutely hated the ending.
Oh.
Rushed, and very rushed.
Not even that. I think I will try not to spoil this. I don't know if I can or not. I think it mixes up its message at the end. I think it was building towards a message, and then the last 10, 15 minutes, it just blew that message away. I can't say this without spoiling it, so...
Can we just give a big spoiler warning?
All right, so here we go.
Spoiler warning.
Yeah.
Okay, spoilers now. Once you have the male ghosts saying, help us, or whatever they're saying, throughout the movie, you have no sympathy for the men. They're all scum. They're treating women. It's a Me Too movie. And then... the roles are reversed. You find out Diana Rigg was Anna Taylor-Joy, who was the who was actually the killer.
Yeah.
And then I felt like the movie wanted you to feel sympathy for the men at the end, and I think that message was just went totally against everything it was building up to. But like I love 90% of the movie. Edgar Wright shoots a hell of a script. I could not stand that ending. It wasn't even my favorite Edgar Wright movie of the year.
Well, you can't really say you're dissenting.
We're in for a fight then.
Because he made that documentary, right? About the Sparks Brothers?
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
Me either.
I passed on it because I didn't like the music.
No, I get what you're saying because it builds up that whole, you know, men are scum, they're users, they destroyed this beautiful thing. And then they kind of flip it on its head when we learn that they were the victims. That it was Matt Smith who was murdered, not Anya Taylor-Joy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we turn into Diana Rigg as the horror monster, basically. She's the killer downstairs who is going to kill everybody. And you know, and then at the end, though, she sees her. And she's like, I know, you know, instead of her mother, she now sees young Anya Taylor-Joy, the murderer, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks at her as her hero. So I don't know if it completely gets flipped on its head, because I still think that Lee character takes it as all men are scum. And Anya Taylor-Joy was right to do what she did.
But the movie also asks you to feel sympathy for those men, though, when the ghosts are pleading with Thomas and Mackenzie, you know, help mm-hmm. us, avenge us, get us, you know, some form of justice. I think you're supposed to feel sympathy for them and want to get justice for them.
Well, they want justice.
Why you're going that way, because it was one guy that treated her badly, but she felt that all guys are the same. So she started killing all the guys. It was just that one guy that was treating her badly. That's what started that.
Well,
didn't she state they were paid to have sex with her, like a hooker?
Yeah, well, she turned into a cult girl. And then she was just like, yeah, no, they're not. Because I took it as the city destroying her. And she was like, no, I'm not gonna let that happen to me.
Right.
It was just, but I feel a little bit of sympathy. They've been rotting in the floorboards for 30 years. And that's, I watched the second time I watched it, that's why she says, oh, and don't ignore the smell in the summertime. Like, yeah, you might have to have nose plugs. Okay. So I was like, okay.
I do have one question. Now, we're only seeing this from one person's perspective, right? And we're assuming it's one person's perspective is Anna Taylor-Joy's, right? And Thomason's looking in on it. So maybe she's looking in on it wrong, which it does show us a twist. So maybe these men weren't as lecherous as we think they are. We're only seeing one vision. It's not like we're living in that time. We're looking at somebody looking through a window at that time. So we're looking at perception.
I think the entire movie is made up to be a paranoid situation, because the grandmother warns about men, and the first, like, she arrives in London and the cab driver is lecherous, and then she sees her roommates and they're all engaging in premarital sex. She's afraid of men, essentially, is the sense I got out of it. Is that, and then she voyeurs on this woman's life, and she sees that their life was abused and destroyed by men who desired her and even didn't want to give her dreams. And so I don't think I think in a sense we're supposed to feel sorry for those men. But on the other hand, I don't think the lead character ever does feel sorry for them. I don't think she ever
absolutely
really tries.
Does not. I don't think
she does not
either.
Try to engage or befriend them or help them in any way. She tells them, no, I can't help you. I'm not going to do that.
No. I don't know if anyone had anything to add to that, but I just had a question. Did you guys, like, predict a twist that Diana Rigg would be older Anya Taylor-Joy?
Nope.
See, for me,
yeah,
I did, because that was the only way I could make sense of what was going on in my head. I was like, okay, well, this has to be her old broom, and that Diana Rigg's got to be the older version of her. But I did not see the serial killer aspect coming.
I'm actually surprised Simon didn't see it because he predicts it most like some like a third into the movies. He's always predicting this, the twists or whatever it is. And I was listening to him. I'm surprised that he didn't.
No, that's what I didn't see coming. But I think my problem was I love it. I'm just soaking this in like a sponge. Mm-hmm. Set design, I'm loving. I'm loving the music. I'm loving the cast. I'm into it. So I'm really not trying. Usually when I answer your questions when we're together, it's because I'm bored. So I have time to look to the future. I didn't want to. I was just having fun watching this film.
And I think, Dune.
I know what's happening in Dune. There was no surprises to me in Dune. But I love Dune, so I'm not going to I'm just enjoying what they're showing me.
And you only watch these ones, so you're probably more present with the ones that you're really enjoying, right?
Correct.
And not trying.
I'll watch this again, because as you said, Daniel, it's like, I guess you enjoyed it the second time as well, or no?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. It's one of those ones that I feel like I got on more.
You left the house twice?
No, I left the house once. I left the house once on Halloween. That was my Halloween movie, and then I saw it when it was on digital.
Oh, you paid money, $7.99.
I will say I saw this movie with Owen, and Edgar Wright is Owen's favorite director. He liked the movie much more than I did. So,
okay. Well, let's bring back.
I was about to say, if you don't like the next one, we'll just get Owen.
Well, here's hang on. Maybe we should ask now. Has he not heard about film school yet, or are we still going to wait another week?
15th, we hear.
Oh,
that's
nice.
What I thought. So it's coming up.
Yes.
We're all hoping for him. Don't get me wrong. I want him in. I know you're going to be broke, but sorry, I want him in.
So do I. He'll be insufferable if he doesn't get in.
I think he will be, too. You can tell him I said that.
Let's go. I guess we'll go on to the next one. Oh, well, Bonjour. Here's Wes Anderson's latest film with the French Dispatch.
Oh, can I start?
Please. I didn't see this one. Directed by Wes Anderson and screenplay by Wes Anderson, starring Benicio Del Toro, Adrian Brody. Bob, I'm talking here.
Bob.
Adrian Brody, Tilda Swinton, Lea Seydoux, Francis McDormand, Timothy Chalamet, Jeffrey Wright, Steve Park, Bill Murray, Owen Wilson, Bob Balaban, and probably so many more.
I love Wes Anderson films. Like, I got to tell you, I have a soft spot for his quirkiness, for pretty much everything he does. I'm a Wes Anderson non-apologist. I friggin' hated this movie. I am so pissed off at Wes Anderson because I think he finally got to the point. He's too Wes Anderson, if that makes any sense. I got sick of the constant green screen. I got sick of these plots that weren't going anywhere of interest. Constant talking. And I'm like, Wes, like, what happened to sets? What happens to depth? These green screens are driving me insane. And there's too many characters. I love the first one. I got to admit, the first short's my favorite with Adrian Brody and I can't remember the other guy in it, but I loved it. I thought the first one was great. And I thought that was going to be the movie, was this kind of thing. And then we went to this next one. I'm like, I'm bored. And then the Timothy Chalamet one, where they just talk forever. The Jeffrey Wright one I didn't really like. I tried hard to get into this, and I just kept getting bored. I'm like, okay, I got it. I don't care. Okay, maybe the next one will be better. I got it. The next one's going to be good. No, next one's not very good either. The quirkiness just was over the top for me. It felt literally he was pounding me in the head. Look, I'm Wes Anderson. Look at my cute quick dialogue. And then we finally make it back to the French Dispatch, which I loved. I loved the office scenes in the French Dispatch with Murray, and all those were great. But I just could not get into this. I tried and tried and tried. Very disappointing for me.
Anybody else see it?
No. Bob, intern, and you.
Okay. I guess I'm dissenting from you again.
Oh, my God.
I enjoyed this movie. It is an anthology. So, like any anthology, there are stories that are better than others.
I agree.
I love the Jeffrey Wright story. I don't know why. There was just something about it. I liked the little animation aspects of it. I thought that was a lot of fun. I didn't care for the Frances McDormand, Timothy Chalamet story. That middle one didn't really work for me that much. But again, I love the Benicio del Toro, Adrian Brody story. That one felt the most akin to Grand Budapest Hotel, which is probably my favorite Wes Anderson movie. And I absolutely love the ending when all the writers come together to write the obituary. I thought that was really touching and warm, really, which is something that doesn't always happen in a Wes Anderson film. He's quirky and stuff, but not always warm. And I felt a warmth and a love in that final scene.
Okay, I got to go with Simon on this because, like, I took us to the theater. I saw it with our friend Warren. About 10 minutes into this, he says, are you as lost as I am? And I talked to other people coming out of the theater. They said they hated it. And I'm not a fan of Wes Anderson, as Simon well knows. And this one was like, and I'm surprised Simon hated this as much, not hated it, disliked as much as he said he did.
I didn't hate it.
I changed it to disliked. Changed it. As I said, as I was saying it, I said, nope, disliked. But this one, being a non-Wes Anderson fan, I think that sort of jaded me more. But still, I just got lost in this. I'm going, and then there was the other scenes, and I'm going, the only scene I liked was the animated one. I think that was about it, because it reminded me of the other movie he did, where the animated dog movie that they went on this island or something, and I can't remember.
Isle of Dogs.
That's
love
it.
That movie.
That was probably the only Wes Anderson movie I actually liked. This one? No.
Fantastic Mr. Fox. You didn't like that?
Nope.
I've seen that one.
Good.
You've never seen Fantastic Mr. Fox?
No.
Okay.
Well, get on it or get out.
No, you're fine. Doug's leaving any minute now, so don't worry.
and again, full disclosure, Owen is actually named after Wes Anderson. Owen is Owen Wesley, so it's Wes Anderson, Owen Wilson. I was a big Bottle Rocket fan, so.
See, I don't like Bottle Rocket.
I love Bottle Rocket.
And I have seen it. I hate it. Again, it's not one of my favorite. Budfest is my favorite.
I love the 15-year plan.
Rushmore's 1A. It's one or the other.
I think the only Wes Anderson ones I've seen would be Grand Budapest Hotel and Moonrise Kingdom.
You haven't seen Rushmore? Kevin,
he's never seen Rushmore.
Rushmore or The Life Aquatic?
No, I have a lot to watch, too.
Oh, my God.
I took my girlfriend at the time, now wife, to see Life Aquatic. And she's like, please don't take me to see one of those films ever. That's all she had to say. The date went well. She's just like, yeah, this wasn't for me.
That's fair. But that one does have David Bowie songs in French. So
yeah.
My favorite scene in Life Aquatic, even though we're off topic here, is still when the guy goes to get the autograph from Bill Murray and he signs a couple and goes, okay, I'm done. Sign the rest yourself.
I'll take your word for it. That was funny.
No, I don't think it's great. It's okay. It's quirky.
Are you guys just done discussing the French Dispatch?
Yes.
Okay, for this one, we
watched it.
Good points. For this one, we will go to Netflix, and I'll use, for Red Notice, I will use a quote for the film from Ryan Reynolds. Simon, why are you wearing a hairnet? You're bald.
Why? Intern.
I mean, when he asked The Rock. Yeah. Wait, I'll do the cast list. Written and directed by Rawson Marshall Thurber, starring Dwayne Johnson, Ryan Reynolds, Gal Gadot, Rito Aria, and Chris Diamantopoulos. I think I did okay there.
Bob, you're up. No.
Is your camera okay?
Bob's having some issues. Kevin, you're up.
You know what? If you were to make a movie by committee, that would be this movie. And I couldn't watch all of it. It was so bad. Even with watchable stars, I just thought this was incoherent and garbage.
I think you summed up my opinion perfectly.
Yeah. So I have no real opinion of this movie other than
I have
Netflix did some kind of an algorithm search and made this movie to fit it.
I had so many issues with this movie. I'm done with Ryan Reynolds, first of all, being Ryan Reynolds and that stupid joke he does. Somebody slap him in the face.
Somebody slap him.
It's literally, they would have a scene. I thought I was watching National Treasure remakes. And I'm like, okay, we got a scene? Oh, no, we're done with that. We're just going to go over here. We're not going to tell you why we're going to jail or anything. We're just going to randomly show up in jail. Okay, we're going to have another action scene in the jail that's going to be really boring and not really do anything new. Okay, we're done that one. Yeah. Now we're going to go to some wedding. I'm like, would somebody explain to me why we're doing these things?
They went to a wedding?
At some point, could you slow down and put a plot in here? I get it. You're all excited. You got Ryan Reynolds, The Rock, Gal Gadot's gorgeous. I got it. Who fucking
cares? They had a scene explaining why you went to jail. They went to jail.
I know why they went to jail.
Gal Gadot framed them. That's what it was.
But I want to see her framing them at some point.
It did. It explained it. She says, they did it. They took it. That was
if I walk around and go, Doug did it, they arrest Doug and throw him in jail. Oh, that's really the argument.
She tossed the egg at them and then framed them for taking it, even though she was the one that...
This movie is terribly boring. It's the same repetitious scene over and over and over and over again until the very end. There's no plot development. Not one of these characters is interesting. Dialogue is cliche. It looked like it was all shot on a really bad set. Waste of people's time and a waste of money. Crappy film.
You guys know how much this cost to make?
$300 million.
That was $200.
I don't know.
But it was like four. Oh, sorry. No, it's $200 million. $440 million for Dwayne. I assume like 20 for Ryan, or 20, 25 for Ryan Reynolds, and probably the same for Gail.
Why?
I don't know. But
why is The Rock worth $40 million? What decent movies The Rock made other than Jungle Book in the last 5 years?
I like Skyscraper, so that's why I was looking forward to this one.
Hey, I like Hobbs and Shaw.
I really like San Andreas a lot.
Well,
you're leaving the show with Doug. You could just go right now. Goodbye.
Doug, let's start our own podcast.
All right.
For the lovers of San Andreas.
Yes, there you go.
I think The Rock is great, but I mean, maybe not $40 million great, but this is his partnership with their director who did Dodgeball, Rawson Thurber Marshall.
Okay. That was a mistake. You hired a great comedy actor and made an action comedy that forgot the comedy.
Well, because they partnered up. This is the guy who directed Skyscraper as well. So, and I had heard about it because it's been in development since like 2018. And honestly, this is the first movie that I've been annoyed with Ryan Reynolds, where it's just like, okay, yeah, like you're Ryan Reynolds doing your Ryan Reynolds shtick, and the dialogue is not good enough to make it that funny. I didn't think it was as offensive as you guys did, or how as offensive as you thought like Six Underground was. Or did you guys like Six Underground more than me?
Nobody likes Six Underground.
That was my least favorite movie of the year.
Okay.
Kevin loves that movie because all the water shows up, but it just keeps coming. It only has a wee little pool, but it has a whole apartment full of water.
Yeah.
But, like, for this movie, I like heist films, and I like National Treasure a lot. So that's the only reason I was enjoying this in the third. Okay, fuck off. National Treasure is a treasure. That's the only reason I was really enjoying like the third act when it kind of turns like into like, let's go into the Amazon. Let's treasure hunt. I thought that aspect was kind of fun, but otherwise it's not a good, I'm not saying this is a good movie. It's just, I didn't think it was terribly offensive. I liked it for that aspect.
Is this because you don't leave the house, you don't meet people and find this is offensive? Because I found it offensive.
I'm just, you know, I'm pretty easy to please. If it's not obviously a terrible movie, I don't have as many issues with things as you do.
You like The Rock, you like Ryan Reynolds, you like Gal Gadot. Let's throw them all together and see what
happens. And Treasure move and do National Treasure again. Yeah.
He's probably watched all the episodes of Tina Carrera's Treasure Hunter or whatever that
Oh, man.
Relic Hunter.
Relic Hunter with Tina Carrera.
Oh. Bob has seen it then, since he knew the title.
What, Relic Hunter? No, I just, like, what? I just, like.
I've never heard of it.
I just used to look at the TV guide every week and go, oh.
Somebody read those things?
Yeah. I used to collect them.
It's called the Relic Hunter?
You probably still have them.
Some of them are signed, so yes.
Uh-huh. See, I knew it. Who hasn't talked? Kevin? Hey. Doug?
Doug. Doug first.
This was a greatest hits album done by a cover band. it just... the ending, when they're driving through the tunnel, all I could think of was the tracks in Temple of Doom. It wasn't in a car, but I just got Temple of Doom vibe. It's a greatest hits album done by a cover band. It's not worth your time.
It's a good cover band.
But a bar cover band.
Has a couple good tunes.
Yeah.
We could be the cover band at a karaoke night. I think. Intern, what did you think, Simon?
What?
Oh, what did you guys?
Well, I'm gonna agree with Daniel because I like National Treasure movies too. However, it does. I gotta combine both Doug and Daniel because, like, as cover band, you put Gal Gadot. They're all sort of good in their own way. Like as you said, Ryan Reynolds wasn't being Ryan Reynolds-ish because after seeing Free Guy, he didn't play the same character but close to it. The only one I thought wasn't playing as type was Gal Gadot because she wasn't playing Wonder Woman. She was playing something different. So I just thought that out of the three of them, she was like most playing against type.
Kind of similar to her Fast Five role.
She seems to play the same voice. Super. She seemed to alter her voice ever.
She either does Wonder Woman or Super Heist movie.
That's right.
Okay.
The one she played with John Hamm. Remember the John Hamm one when she's married to their neighbors?
Keeping Up with the Joneses.
That's right. She's the same character. That's it.
Yeah, Keeping Up with the Joneses.
She's the same character in that one.
I forgot about that movie.
Okay. Oh, that was wrong.
You can't forget Gal Gadot movies.
Well, I have to remember anyway.
But as you said, Daniel, like there's the National Treasure. Those are fun movies. But Doug, like said, cover band, which is true as well, but not a bad cover band, but a semi-good cover band. So I'm sort of in the middle of those of Doug and Daniel on that one.
Okay, next movie.
Simon, did you talk or did you just
say
that it's garbage?
It's garbage. Move on.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
I'm ending this out.
If you like dog movies, robot movies, apocalyptic films, or road trips, well, shit, we have the movie for you with Finch. Another cover band of those kind of films.
Intern, you're up.
Finch is directed by Miguel Sapochnik, written by Craig Luck and Ava Powell, starring Tom Hanks, Caleb Landry Jones as the robot Jeff, and Seamus the dog. That's a good year.
I can't.
Very small cast.
I never saw the movie.
Oh.
Doug.
I watched it the other night, and I will be 100% honest, I don't remember much about it. It was that forgettable. I remember a scene at a diner where Jeff tries to drive the Winnebago and leaves Tom Hanks in a lurch, and that's about it. It's kind of like Castaway, where Tom Hanks actually, the volleyball talks back this time, thanks to Jeff. But we've seen Tom Hanks do this before. We've seen him on his own. I think Castaway is a better film. I did not really care for this movie. It was kind of boring.
Wow. Okay. Me and Doug are finally in agreement tonight. This thing put me to sleep. As soon as he started building the robot, I'm like, I'm going to hate this movie. I can already tell you I'm going to hate it because all it is Tom Hanks talking. And then the robot starts. I'm like, oh, I'm so bored. Now they go on a road trip with his dog and they talk about dog food. Now you got to feed the dog. And Tom Hanks talks about his dad, who nobody cares about because we never meet him. And then Tom Hanks talks about driving and teaching the robot to drive. And then the robot gets out of the truck to get number one priority is food or something or being careful or something like that. And then Tom Hanks wakes up and goes save robot. And then he gets mad at robot for killing the other robot. They get back in truck. They continue for a drive for a while. And then the robot won't go under bridge. Tom Hanks tells robot to go under bridge and they destroy part of the van going under the bridge. Boring. Continuing on. They get to a nice part in Arizona. Tom Hanks goes out for a drink in his nice suit to meet his dad. Because he was supposed to meet his dad on the bridge at some point. Don't care. Had no interest. Know why Doug forget this? Because nothing happens. Literally, it's 2 hours of beautiful looking at wasted Apple money on this movie. I think we're seeing the fall of Tom Hanks. I have no, this Thomas Crown affair. Pardon?
Did I hear you
sorry,
say
I just said you've thought that for years. It's the fall of Tom Hanks.
I heard Simon say he hated this movie.
Oh, I do.
Thank you. It's usually disliked, now it's hate.
No, that's what I definitely hate.
Proof. Wanted you on record. Sorry, well, Sam, go on.
Intern likes to say I hate things, and I don't normally really hate things, but this one I do. And okay. Unlike the intern, I actually watch all the movies on the list, so I can have an opinion.
I think, are you done with your thoughts, Simon?
I am done.
I think you're making it sound a lot more boring than it was.
No, I'm not.
I mean, you're just going beat by beat, and it's not very, it's very mundane.
Well, what am I missing? Tell the people what I'm missing.
Well, you missed the part that Tom Hanks didn't want to go under the bridge because they're being chased because they go into a place where the robot doesn't realize it's a trap because he was born yesterday. So the little robot goes into a bear trap, and it's just, I think it's not the most exciting movie, but it's more exciting than you're giving it credit
for. No, I'm not. Doug's forgotten the movie. He watched it yesterday.
He said 2 days ago or a couple days ago. We have you on record, Simon. But no, it's not a great movie, but one thing I like about it is just the fact the past 10 years, every apocalypse movie has been with zombies. And I just thought it was refreshing getting an apocalypse movie without zombies. I just kind of enjoyed it for that aspect. Because the last good one without zombies we got was The Book of Eli. And it's been like 10 years. So for that aspect, I thought it was kind of refreshing in that way. And I can do your I think too. I totally think that it is Cast Away with a robot. I have to agree there. But I thought it had good heart. I liked Tom Hanks' stories. I thought his character was a good storyteller. Okay, Mr. Simon's got toys. But no, I'm easy to please. I thought this movie wasn't that bad. And it's not a great film. It's not a thing I would watch again. But for the time, I thought it hit the emotional beats well. Tom Hanks dying and the robot trying to take over as the caretaker.
Spoilers!
Oh, sorry. That's fair. Tom Hanks doing something and then the robot having to take over the dog. That's why he built it. Yeah, I spoiled that one. My bad. But either way, I thought it was pretty good.
You'll forget about
it
10 minutes after you watched it.
That's true. But I liked it. It's nothing that's going to change the world, like Red Notice, but you know. I enjoyed it for what it was.
I have an idea. Why don't we do a mashup with the robot and the Gal Gadot, Rock, Ryan Reynolds character? And
that's
they all can
guy.
Hang out together. And that's Free Guy.
Yeah, but it's just, you know. It's
maybe Red Notice 2 and Free Guy 2 could be the same movies. I don't have to listen to Ryan Reynolds too much more.
Free Notice. Finch is just. I don't think it's an offensive movie.
It's not offensive. It's just boring. It's a grandma movie.
Well, I don't know if I would call it a grandma movie.
Grandma won't be offended.
Yeah.
But it's not the, like, the build of a grandma film, I suppose, is what I mean.
Listen, some grandmas like science fiction like my grandmother did.
Okay.
Kevin, you warned me about this film.
Yeah, I mean, I did watch it all the way through, so I wasn't bored enough to fall asleep through it, and I do remember it, so it's not that forgettable. It's just not very good. It's like Mad Max without anything good. You know, it's like we're in a post-apocalyptic future, and Tom Hanks has survived, and, you know, he's building a robot. I don't know why he ever left his cave, because he seemed to be okay in his cave in the basement of that building. He had food, he had power, he had everything he needed.
Isn't it a big storm coming that was going to, like, wipe out that area?
There were big sandstorms coming and stuff, but, yeah, I mean, he would have been okay buried underneath there like that. But maybe he might not have been able to get out, but I don't know. I mean, what was that movie with the – with the robot done by the South African director?
Chappie? Or Elysium?
No, he's thinking of the one after Chappie. Yeah, Chappie's the one he's talking about.
Chappie?
Yeah.
When they have the District 9? In it. No, District 9's a good movie. Chappie's the one I didn't like.
And the robot reminded me of that comic Scud, the disposable assassin.
Yes, that's the one, too. Yes.
There was a comic with a robot with a similar look to it.
Scud?
Kind of angular. And, I mean, I thought the effects on the robot were fantastic. And it was kind of interesting that the voice was annoying. And I would have beaten the hell out of it in 5 minutes after activating it from just that voice. I don't know. I mean, like, it's forgettable. It is. It's a grandma movie. It's like, oh, look, there's a new Tom Hanks movie on it. Honey, let's watch it on Apple TV Plus. And then you know, it's like Greyhound. It's okay. It's not offensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of forgettable. It's not going to be up there with the great Tom Hanks movies. So Forrest Gump. It's not even Castaway. Although it steals so much from Castaway, it's ridiculous.
Post-apocalyptic Castaway.
Yeah. So this time, Wilson talks back.
And Alan Tudyk is not the one voicing the robot, which probably would have been better.
Right. So, you know, if you're bored and you want to watch a sci-fi movie you'll not really love, there you go. Here's one for you. Apple TV Plus, living up to its expectations.
Not a sponsor.
Yeah.
Moving on from Finch, I think. So the beta test. For this one, Simon loved The Wolf of Snow Hollow so much, he put Jim Cummings' follow-up film on his list.
Yeah. I thought it'd be nice. Like, I read good reviews about beta tests. I said, okay.
Oh, really?
Maybe The Wolf of Howl is just a bad film for me. Maybe it just didn't work. Oh, but then I watched the beta test. And I found out what my problem is with Jim Cummings. It's him. I don't like him.
Do you mind if I sneak in this cast
Jim Cummings and a bunch of other people.
Well, it's written and directed by Jim Cummings and P.J. McCabe. It also stars Jim Cummings, P.J. McCabe, Virginia Newcomb, Jesse Barr, and Jacqueline Doak. You can rant now.
So I found out Jim Cummings annoys me. I don't like his look. I don't like the way he moves. I don't like the way he talks. He really, really, really bugs me. I thought this film was half of a good film. I kind of liked where it was going, and I really thought it got kind of dumb near the end. Like, the first half an hour, I was really into this. I thought it was kind of interesting. I like where it was going. And then he decided to be a detective, like I was watching Columbo. And then the film just started falling apart all over the place for me. I'm like, what's he doing? This doesn't make sense. This is such bad decision-making constantly. I didn't agree with his character. I didn't agree with the motivations. There's so many questions that I had. I'm like, if anybody else in the movie was doing what he was doing, I probably would have accepted it, especially his wife. You know what I mean? But she knew nothing about it. Weird character choices, especially did the weird side scenes when he's with his wife. Like, why is this woman marrying this idiot? They hate each other. I kind of got that early. I'm like, why are they wasting each other's time? This marriage will be over in a week. I the only part at the end of it I thought was just dumb. Made no sense to me by the end. I was like, okay, that's where you went with this? Okay, I can't agree with it, but sure. It's an ending, at least. I can't complain about that. My problem with Jim Cummings is I just don't like Jim Cummings, but I am going to watch Holy Motors and see, maybe it's just the last two films. So Beta Test just wasn't for me. I hope you guys actually like this. I did try to find new films, and Jim Cummings, everybody seems to like but me, so you guys tell me.
He did a movie called Holy Motors? I thought that was from, like, 2012.
Do I have the wrong film, Doug?
Yes, you do. Thunder Road?
Thunder Road. Sorry, Thunder Road.
Okay, that makes more sense.
I'll go after Simon here. I actually agree with Simon. I didn't understand the ending of this movie. I didn't understand
motivations.
If the guy just wanted to make lots of money from his scheme, then what was the whole point at the end of the wife or the wife-to-be saying, you know, 8 more dead in New York or the East Coast? I forget exactly what she said, but is it about killing people now all of a sudden? The ending did not make sense to me. I kind of went with Jim Cumming just because he played such an asshole that it was kind of fun to watch him just be an asshole to people and be the asshole Columbo going around trying to fake his way through an investigation. I didn't hate those aspects of it. I just didn't understand the ending at all or the motivations of the bad guy.
Yeah, I think it's just the premise of whatever this movie's Indecent Proposal, but with social media and just that all of your dirty laundry is aired out on social media. But I do agree that I don't really understand why they're killing each other, because there's all this mistrust. But in that way, it almost feels like mom and dad, where the parents turn on the kids for 24 hours. And here it's kind of almost high concept where it's like, okay, well, if they find out you're cheating, let's kill them. I thought the business model was kind of interesting when the bad guy explained it, but I have to agree in the way that I wanted to like this more.
Hold on. Who's the bad guy, though? The bad guy to me isn't really the bad guy. Jim Cummings is the bad guy to me.
Oh, sure. But I mean the antagonist in the way that
But I liked him better than I liked Jim Cummings.
Well, I think they're all bad people. I mean, yes. I think even the wife-to-be it was intimated at the end that she got one of those letters too, right?
Yeah.
And that she did the same thing he did. So
that's
they're all bad people.
Two peas in a pod, I think. But I wanted to like this movie more than I did. I'm kind of with you guys. I don't know if I completely got it.
I didn't get it.
Yeah, I thought the Harvey Weinstein stuff and the like talent agency aspects were kind of like interesting, like trying to make a commentary on that aspect. But I feel bad not liking this one because it's made for $200,000, which is impressive, and it's just I was reading an article about how Cummings and his company distributes these films, and they're doing like self distribution. And how he got Thunder Road off the ground, which I thought was really interesting, and just how they're kind of almost saying fuck you to Hollywood in a way that this film does. I thought that was kind of interesting. But I wanted to like this more because I have heard good reviews. I'm not sure if I'll read some articles on it and try to watch it again. But as for the first viewing, didn't see the appeal of it too much. I liked Jim Cummings played an asshole in Wolf of Snow Hollow, but he was redeemable. Here it's just full-on asshole. And that shtick kind of just grew tired for me a little quickly in this film and with this character, just because he's so unlikable. But in general, yeah, I agree. I would like to watch Thunder Road and see what kind of asshole he plays there. Because I like what they're doing, even if I didn't like this film. Particularly.
Oh, I know.
Another film I have to defend in a way.
Dude, this is Amazon Prime National Lampoon Dorm Days. It'll be on the same back end algorithm that'll just pop up from time to time. It's like a bad student film starring people I don't give a shit about with a story that makes no fucking sense. Excuse my language. This was garbage, this movie. There was nothing redeemable about it. And the plot is basically, if you get this and they reveal to your spouse that you did this, your spouse kills you. Like, it's not like there's an algorithm or something that triggers this from happening, which is how the end of the film makes it sound like that. Oh, now it's gone into alpha mode. People are killing each other all over the United States over this. Yeah, crimes of passion happens, and definitely this might trigger this in some cases, but I don't think people love each other that much that they would kill someone to that extent. Like, the whole thing with the wife, I mean, I don't know why she was with Jim Cummings. He's an asshole. Yeah. There is nothing redeemable about this guy, except that he may have money. And he's terrible. I mean, he is legitimately awful in this film. Like, there's some movies where you're like, I don't mind watching a bad character struggle. I don't care about this guy. I don't want to see his struggle. He slept with someone and he drives him crazy. Like, and that someone may in the end have been his wife, is what they try to intimate there. So, like, she walks out with the scissors and sees him, and it's like, what is the implication that she was going to stab him? I think she was just going to cut up the wedding up invitations and say, F you, get out of my life.
Maybe.
But, you know, like, I've never been annoyed by a movie. I've been annoyed by many movies, but this was my annoying movie of the day. This is like those bad movies that show up. Every so often I'll watch these bad sexual themed movies on Prime where it's like, whodunits or, bad sex comedies or like bachelor party days or something like that. And it's the same, basically it's the same stupid movie. It's like someone has sex and then they're obsessed about it and they can't move on. And, in this case, it's this idiot. So, Simon, I do regret you made me watch this.
I probably would have put it on eventually.
Yeah.
So,
listen, I was trying to give Jim Cummings some,
that guy should be best.
Did you know that he directed Wolf of Snow Hollow, Simon?
Yes, I heard a whole interview with him on this movie, and it sounded interesting.
Oh, okay.
From the interview.
So I will say the murders were pretty well filmed. And like the opening murder with the stab of the knife and
I thought that was so cool. I was into it. I'm like, all right.
Maybe he should not star in his own movies because he can't act.
He's terrible.
I was reading an interview where he was just saying, like, I never considered myself an actor, but it's the most cost effective for him to star in the films, basically.
Well, I understand he crowdfunded the film.
As an actor, though, he was not bad in Halloween Kills.
Oh, right. He was in that one.
He is in Halloween Kills, briefly.
But he wasn't yelling at the top of his lungs in Halloween
Kills. Well, no.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to the vault?
True.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a thing queued up here. One sec.
Does help if you put that against your mic.
Oh, okay. You can hear it. We could put it in post. I'll send you a file.
I'll get right on that.
Godzilla versus Hedorah, 1971. Now since this is Simon's list, the time is Godzilla time. Directed by Yoshimitsu Banno and written by Banno and Takeshi Kimura, starring Akira Yamamuchi, Toshi Kimura, Hiroyuki Kawase, Kiko Mary, Toshiya Shibuya, and Godzilla and Hedorah. Sorry about pronunciation.
So I gotta say, basically you say Godzilla versus a smog monster because that's what it is in American. I think the Godzilla formula really hits home at this point. Gazelle, the smog monster shows up. There's some issues. Things happen. And the scientist has figured it out 10 minutes into the movie. But they don't call that scientist. They just kind of leave him alone. He does some more research. He's like, oh, I got this. But this whole time, the smog monster's running rampant. Godzilla doesn't know what's going on. He can't beat him. And my favorite scene in this, there's two favorite scenes. It's one, when the guy finally figures out, picks up the phone, and he gets into the general or whatever, no problem. Oh, I know what to do now. Automatically gets into the general. No red tape, no nothing. And the guys are setting up the giant battery, the government, the Japanese army, and it doesn't work. But somehow Godzilla knows how it works and fires his electric breath at it and gets it going so they can kill the smog monster. I was dying. I'm like, come on, guys. So even though Godzilla does not speak English, doesn't really listen to us normally, he's smarter than the army guys to get the battery working to solve the problem. This movie is just more Godzilla fun. Is it good? Not in any way. The Godzilla fight scenes actually were okay in this, but I mean, it's like every movie they put less and less money in it and make just as much money. Like the first two to three films are very much for adults, I think, more than kids. But I think the last few, they've started going the other way and making a little more like Saturday matinees for $2 for kids to watch. And don't get me wrong, I love every minute of them. I'm enjoying them still. There will be another one on my next list. But they're just fun. They're bad, though. I mean, don't get me wrong. You cannot watch these going, this is good filmmaking. It's terrible filmmaking, but they're just so much fun to watch.
I actually watched this one.
Wow.
Yeah.
You okay?
And I honestly thought the screenplay wasn't that bad. You guys make it seem like all of these are so horrible, and I think I caught it on a decent one.
This one's not bad. This is better than the last one. The last one almost killed me and died.
Was that the Son of Godzilla?
Yeah. Maybe? Oh yeah. There was no Son of Godzilla in this one. I think they ditched his ass because he's useless.
Godzuki.
I like the message of the environment in general, but like Doug. Forgetting about Finch. I watched this last week and I don't remember too much other than
you
the kaiju action.
You forget about this 5 minutes after watching it and put on Godzilla 12 and it'll be the same thing.
That is patently false.
I know enough that these aren't super for me and I might watch the original Godzilla and then be done, but I'll let you guys have your fun.
Doug?
I did not forget about this movie since I saw it when I was 10, and I'm now in my 40s. It's been 30 years, and I still have Save the Earth. That song is in my
mind.
Aside from the original Godzilla film, this is my favorite of the whole series. I love this movie. The message about protecting the environment, the cheesy Save the Earth song. I just love everything about this movie.
I forgot about the kaiju fight.
Let's back this up, Doug. A kaiju is coming to attack your town.
Mm-hmm.
Your kids take off to a mountain to a Save the Earth protest and sing songs.
Well, no.
You're gonna be okay with this?
Well, no, not if it's my kids, but if it's somebody else's kids who are going to do that, that's fine, whatever.
And then they come back like, nothing, where'd you go? Where's our kids? We can't find them. He wants a God to save the Earth protest.
It's silly, but I love it. Like I said, aside from the original, this is my favorite Godzilla film.
Oh, we haven't got to my favorite one yet.
I thought the kaiju battles were good.
Oh, that's good. They were fun this time.
The message of Save the Earth. It has a good message, good kaiju battles.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want.
I will let you guys know what my second favorite Godzilla, we're getting closer to it.
I like how the slime monster looked, though. It kind of reminded me of that villain in Scooby-Doo. You know what I'm talking about? Just the slime monster, right?
The diver?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I just remember from Scooby-Doo.
The one when they go to the underground city, the one that got flooded, and they swim around the underground city for 4 hours?
Maybe. Did you ever see Cyber Chase?
Yes.
Yeah, the just the one that looks like a slime monster, and the one that gets caught in the cotton candy. When the
underground city gets flooded, and they go down visiting it, and they can spend hours down there, no problem.
Maybe not. No, I've taken us off topic, sorry.
It's Godzilla. There'll be another one, don't worry. Is that it? I can't remember what else is on my... Oh, no, there's one more.
Just two more. And I was just going to say that the music, that song, that reminded me of Happiness of the Katakuris.
Nice.
True.
Now, used cars. So when... Oh, I jumped ahead on my transition. When you guys buy your cars, do you buy them new? Do you lease them? Or do you buy them used?
So, you know, you didn't even ask me.
Oh, I'm... Kevin, you saw that one?
I've seen it, but I don't remember it. So, that's all right. But I'm just pointing out that you didn't ask me. So.
We weren't going to ask you because we know you don't watch them.
It's not worth it. I've seen them all. I loved them as a kid, but I'm not interested in watching them as an adult. I actually watched the Matthew Broderick Godzilla movie instead.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
It's not really a Godzilla movie, but anyway.
Oh, is that where the Austin Powers joke comes from?
Which one?
That the, looks like Godzilla, but it's not. Because technically we can't have made a Godzilla movie for the 98 one because of the copyright laws or something.
No, they could have made a Godzilla movie, but they decided they were smarter than the average bear and they'd redesign it all.
Oh, okay.
And that didn't work out well. So, and then Toho got the rights back again. So this is kind of like the bad American cousin version of Godzilla.
Oh, okay.
Okay, use cars.
Use cars. Kevin? Directed by Robert Zemeckis, written by Zemeckis and Bob Gale, starring Kurt Russell, Jack Warden, Garrett Graham, Frank McCray, Deborah Harmon, Michael McKean, and Joe Flaherty, who I know from Happy Gilmore is the, you suck, jackass.
That's true.
I had that Kevin? Sound queued up, but I won't play it.
I mean, this is the movie that put Bob Zemeckis on the map, basically. It's been so long since I've seen it, so I don't really have fond memories of it. I remember it being amusing. But that's about it. I have no strong opinions either way.
Disagree with that one. Mm. Oh, I'll go. I love this movie. I had never heard of this movie. I was reading articles why I picked it saying 70s films you've never seen. I'm like, use cars. Who's in it? Kurt Russell. I'm in. So I picked it. I love this movie. Oh, my God. How has nobody ever told me this movie exists? I totally would have watched this years ago. I laughed so hard during this film. Those commercials are hysterical. Hurry up. We got to cut. Come on. We're going to cut into the football game. We got to cut. I was dying when Squiggy's telling the guy now. And the blonde's doing the commercial. I was dying. Or when they have the devil and they do the second commercial, he goes, that price is too high. And they start blowing up cars. I was crying. I thought the jokes in this movie were fresh. I thought the acting was awesome. I love them when they're trying to sell cars with a dollar bill and they're pulling it across the road to get the guy to buy a car off them. I thought that was great.
In the road.
I thought the end of the film with the judge, Al Lewis, was hysterical. Who picked corn at 2 o'clock? I got a golf. And Wendy Jo Sperber making jokes in this film was great. I see Wendy Jo Sperber really young. I think this film is just fine. I cannot believe it. I do not read about this film more. I can see why this film puts Zemeckis on the map. It is fine. Jack Warden, I love as a character actor. Absolutely love Jack Warden. I like how he plays two characters.
Mm-hmm.
I like the joke they play at his daughter when they're buried him in the thing. It was great. I like how they get rid of the body. That was brilliant. I think this is a solid film, but if you haven't seen it, I don't know what you're doing here. I guess you're like me. You didn't know it existed. It is great.
I think about this movie, I agree that the commercials are really funny. I think Zemeckis shows his great filmmaking in that the chase, not really so much a chase, but just in the beat the clock, getting all the used cars to the lot. I thought that was great. And I think he just shows like what he was capable of. And I feel like that's one of the reasons this put him on the map. And this is one of those kind of college comedies, not really set in a college. So I thought there was a lot of funny stuff, but for me, it was just okay. And just in the way that there was the one scene with Jack Warden at the very beginning when the slimy guy, his brother hires the goon to race the car around. to me, that, for, I don't know, for my mood at that point in time, for me, that's not funny. That just seemed cruel to me. Just how it was just like, ah, let's kill this guy because he has a bad heart. Let's give him a heart attack. And it was funny when he got into the office and the guy was like, okay, well, my boss is going to have a stroke if you don't sign. And then he's like, please, you've done enough. I thought that joke was hysterical. But for me, like, the idea of, like, just scaring him to death was not funny at the time.
But that's the crux of the whole thing. I think it kind of works for what the movie is supposed to be. I kind of like that scene.
Yeah.
Because it sets up that office scene that you wanted. Without scaring him to death, we don't have the office scene.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. See, it's an okay movie for me. Just some really good moments, some good character work, good acting by Russell and Jack Warden, but probably not one of my favorites.
Oh, disagree.
Well, that's fine. I mean, I think this has been, what, 9 movies? We've disagreed on most of them. So that's
probably
fine.
Me and Doug probably hated this.
No, actually, I did not. I actually love this movie. You guys talk about it putting Zemeckis on the map. I think this was also a big film for Kurt Russell, who was trying to get out of the Disney aspect of his career. This was like his first adult film, playing an adult character, wanting adult things.
What Disney stuff did he do?
Was this before or after Snake Plissken, though?
This was before
Snake Plissken. Escape is 82.
That was one of my questions I was going to have before I went.
Sorry, what Disney stuff did he do?
The Computer War Tennis Shoes. That's the big one.
Flubber.
Yeah.
Flubber?
He was a staple American male teen in Disney movies in the 70s, basically, late 60s and 70s.
Ah, okay, before my time. All right, sorry, guys. Go on.
Well, Disney's final words were actually about Kurt Russell.
Really?
Yeah, it was just Kurt Russell, and then he died, and nobody ever found out what he was going to say about Kurt.
Oh.
Rosebud.
That could all just be Hollywood legend or something, but I choose to believe it. But yeah, I love this movie. I love David Lander and Michael McKean together in this, not being Lenny and Squiggy, being completely different characters. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Okay, nice.
Well, it definitely led to Back to the Future, this movie. Alan Zemeckis got the attention of Spielberg, and he asked them to make 1941, which was also a bomb. But it got them to make Back to the Future, which was a huge hit.
Now, did Bob Gale work on Who Framed Roger Rabbit with Zemeckis too, or was that just Zemeckis?
That was just Zemeckis at that point. Yeah.
That's my favorite Zemeckis movie.
I think the other Zemeckis Gale they did together was the one about the Beatles. I Want to Hold Your Hand.
I Want to Hold Your Hand, yeah, which you can't find anywhere.
Criterion released it last year.
Oh, really? Yeah, I went looking at streaming.
It is available on Criterion Disc.
Okay.
Is it available on its on-demand service?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Huh. Intern, did you see Used Cars?
Yes, I did. That's when my question came about, like, was this before or after Snake Plissken? And because he was a staple of the Disney movies, this is why. I'm with Daniel on this one. It was an okay movie, but there was only certain scenes I liked out of it, like with the dollar bill getting across the street, Jack Warden's two different characters. I didn't like the Kurt Russell's portrayal. I think because like it was a transition from Disney to the next stage of his career, and this is what I feel like was that was it. And I didn't like the total movie for that reason. Because he was like sort of shifty and I didn't really enjoy him in that. I guess because I was thinking of him as the Disney guy, and then after he left the Disney, then I thought, because I had never seen up till I met Simon, I had never seen the Escape to New York films. After that, I didn't, but I saw like him in other stuff, and I enjoyed him in that. But this one just didn't hit it with me. So Daniel got me on this one because I didn't like it as much.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair. Yeah. Are you done with buying used cars?
Yeah, I'll definitely see this film, people, if you've never seen it. It's so much fun.
Yeah. And has the kind of plot line of a sitcom, so there's that. Now, it's getting late, so I don't have a transition for Night Game from 1989. Let's just get into it.
You just did. You said it's getting late.
Yeah. You did.
Good one.
This was my secret pick for Doug because I know he's such a big Roy Scheider fan, and I thought Doug might get a kick out of this film or ever heard of it. I didn't know if he had.
I had heard of it because I worked at a video store when I was in high school, and I remember the cover. I hadn't seen it, though. This was my first time watching it.
Yeah, it's my first time seeing this, too, and disappointing.
I'll sneak really in the cast dull. List.
Sure, Roy Scheider and a bunch of people we don't care about.
Directed by Peter Masterson, written by Spencer Eastman and Anthony Palmer, starring Roy Scheider, Lane Smith, Karen Young, and Richard Bradford. I didn't realize that he didn't spell his last name with an N. Oh. Didn't realize it was Roy Scheider instead of Roy Scheider.
Oh, there you go. I thought this movie started off well. I really thought I liked the beginning of it. And then I just felt it gets boring quickly. Like, nothing happens for like an hour. Just talking. Oh, we're going to try this out. No, that's, well, let's try this out. And then they randomly figure it out in the last 20 minutes, I felt. I was kind of like, okay, that's together. I'm like, this is dull. Is this what B-movies of the 70s are like on a double bill of a drive-in? Like you see used cars, and then right afterwards they have Night Game? Or was Night Game a big movie?
Late 80s for this one. I don't think that many people have heard of this one. I know I hadn't.
I was just hoping
it would be better. I don't felt it really did anything. I just felt it was more like, felt like a bad TV movie than anything else.
And can I just mention how creepy it is that he was marrying the daughter of his high school sweetheart in the movie? That creeped me the fuck out. I agree. It wasn't very good, and he's not a very good detective. He doesn't really solve anything.
Nope.
He figures out the connection between the picture and when the murders occur, but then that's all he figures out. He doesn't really figure out who the killer is. That's all just happenstance.
Correct.
Yeah. I like these kind of movies that are like procedurals, and I'm a sucker for baseball, anything. And like, if you give me a baseball movie with a serial killer, I'm like, I'm in. That's why Simon, I was like, it feels like you picked this one for me because it's like exactly my taste.
Too. Almost. Baseball. Yeah. Bob likes baseball.
And I love thrillers like procedurals like this. It's not terrible, but I agree. It doesn't do anything. And one thing that I like the slasher elements. I thought the kills were actually done pretty cool with the hook, and just the idea of like him being replaced as the pitcher. But the one thing that really annoys me is the fact that I hate it when we know what the premise of the film is about. That, okay, so there's a guy that kills people after Houston Astros night games on their winning streak. And I honestly thought like, okay, so it's the guy who Houston Astros keep winning at home. He's got to do a blood sacrifice kind of thing. So that's where my mind went. But one thing that always annoys me is when we know what the premise is, but the bad detectives can't figure it out. And then they're like, light bulb within 15 minutes. With 15 minutes left after we just...
Right? People have fallen asleep already.
Yeah, but we just pretty much just did nothing for a whole hour. And then it's like, let's do our job.
Don't forget about the big exciting ending when they go to the Astro game.
Did they actually go to the game? Was that in the credits?
Yes. I'd say, they're really at the game. Wouldn't you, Doug?
It looked like they were actually at a game.
It looked like the game was going on when they were coming down the aisle.
It looked like they're using actual footage for the game. It looks like they shot at the game. I mean,
after they were married, they went, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's the honeymoon is at the baseball game.
I completely forgot. Okay. Shows how memorable this film
is. I just saw this recently, like in the last 2 days. So.
I watched everything a whole week early.
So did I. Bob, go ahead.
Okay, I gotta agree with Daniel. It was okay, but like it, and the fact it was involving baseball, I thought, okay, I'm in. But then it got to the story, and I'm going slowly. It's going, it's getting worse. I thought Roy Scheider would be like after seeing Jaws. I thought, okay, he's gonna be good in this. Nope. And I heard Lane Smith talking, and one of the other actors, I look up and I'm going, is that who I think it is? And it was. And I'm going, okay, this might be okay. But then it started getting like slower and slower each time. So it's okay, but it's not what I'd see, what I'd want to see again.
Fair to say this didn't knock it out of the park, guys?
Yeah, I'd say that. Yeah.
Kevin, did you watch it?
Wasn't a home run?
Nope. Nope, sorry.
I didn't watch it.
No.
Okay, well, I guess that's it. We got nothing else to say. Perfect. So, until they get a hit and a run, and they make it.
We buy little toys from Landmark Cinemas. Not a sponsor. Good night.